Let's listen to a bit of a recent BBC broadcast.
Nigeria Senate President Dr. Bukola Saraki, de Ghana now. And guess what he give the Ghana president?
Naija Jollof.
No. Saraki give President Nana Akufo-Addo ostrich egg. We get map.
What? I heard ostrich egg. Yes, the BBC World Service, one of our producing partners, is expanding with 10 new language services in Africa and Asia. Among them, as we heard, West African Pigeon. The West African Pigeon website debuted about 6 months ago. There's some irony here because the BBC was part of a push by the colonizing British government to get people to speak English. We'll get to that. Adejua Shirinka is editor of the BBC Pigeon Service in Lagos, Nigeria. Adejua, we hear the most widely spoken form of West African Pigeon is Nigerian Pigeon. 75 million speakers?
Yes, you're right. When you add that to pidgin speakers in Ghana, in Cameroon, in Sierra Leone, in Senegal, across West and Central Africa, you can imagine the huge population of audience that the BBC is directly catering to.
Sure. Well, we know the word pidgin because it also has come to mean, you know, put together a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And that's what happened with this language. Remind us where it came from.
Well, you know, pidgin came way back from the 17th century, an attempt to create a common language between the English speakers and the locals. So it's a mixture of English and local languages across the different port cities that they visited across the region.
This is when the British came, but we understand there was actually even a little bit of it when the Portuguese traders came in the 15th century, but it evolved. And I find it so interesting because, you know, the British colonists who wanted to have this way of communicating, and so this language evolved. They then tried to teach English in the schools. Some of the students, we understand, started speaking pidgin as a resistance against having to speak just English.
Yes. When you talk about the protest side of the language, you look at musicians like Fela Nkulapo Kuti, who sang a lot of his songs in pidgin, rebelling against colonial authorities in that sense.
Fela Kuti, the Nigerian musician, he sang a famous song, Gentleman, in pidgin. And again, it was a rejection of this notion that he had to become westernized. He sings, I no be gentleman at all.
I no be gentleman at all. I no be gentleman at all at all.
I no be gentleman at all. I no be gentleman at all. I no be gentleman at all. The African man, original. That was Fela Nkulapo Kuti. But more than that, it's also a function of the fact that this region is a multi-ethnic region. In Nigeria, you have over 250 languages. So pidgin comes across as that language that can unify the whole country. So if you want to rise above the multi-ethnic dialect, if you want to rise above the colonial influence, pidgin comes to you as a language to speak. So you find that even government tries to push out public announcements and all of that in pidgin.
Tell us a little more about how the language works. Can you give us some examples?
For instance, if I wanted to greet you now, I could say, hey, how you dey? Wetin dey happen for your side now? How President Donald Trump dey? Make you now dey greet am for me. Tell us how dey true
side. What'd you say?
Can you translate that?
Yeah.
Oh, well, so what I've just said to you is, how are you? How are you doing? What's happening? How is the U.S. President, President Donald Trump, you know, how's he doing? Tell him I say hello.
Well, we have to ask you about the headline on the BBC World Service, Pigeon Service, that got everybody's attention. It had to do with the woman who, well, it's the poo-poo story, is how everybody refers to it.
Yeah.
Could you read the headline?
The poo-poo story. Kuma we want to wear poo-poo, come trap for window.
And it was a story about?
Oh, yeah. You know, the story was about a lady who she used the bathroom and was going to, I don't know, for whatever reason, she decided to throw the excreta out through the window. And it got trapped in the window. And then she tried to reach for it. And then she also got trapped. And the boyfriend she was trying to impress had to be called in to rescue her, and he couldn't, and then had to call in the fire service, and it became really very messy. Got a lot of attention.
Yes, I'll say.
But that's not the only story that's got us a lot of attention, you know. We did a story about the Nigerian president. He'd been out of the country, then he just came back. And unfortunately, the president had been away for about 3 months, couldn't work in his office. So we found out why the president was not at work. And we were told rodents had taken over his office while he was
rodents,
in there.
Rats.
Rodents in pidgin, that's rat. So we did the story of how rat chased President Buhari come out from office. And boom, that became the talk of the town. And of course, we've gone ahead to do great stories after that. We've done stories that impacted greatly on our audiences. I mean, recently we did a story on three Ghanaian girls who are autistic, but have decided to rise above the autism challenge. And they are now models. And now they are brand ambassadors, you know, in Ghana. And they're doing very well. And the story has gone so viral. In about 2-3 months, we've got close to 3 million views on our Facebook page. So the reception has been quite good. And we've gone ahead to do great stories as well. It's just a major game changer.
Well, we wish you the best. Adejuan Srinka, editor of the BBC Pidgin in Lagos, Nigeria. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.